Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hey, everybody, welcome. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and we are going to put a very bright, bright spotlight on the Southwest tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to remember to do a shout out to Discount Cab because they made this possible. We appreciate their support. And of course, they are the Green Cab Company, and they drive Priuses around town. So thank you, Discount Cab, for bringing us what I know you're all going to agree with me is an amazing show. And as I said, a bright light on the Southwest, a very bright light. Joining me in studio are Tracy Baines, who's the president of the STEP program, and she's going to tell you what that all is all about, Student Expedition Program, and Bill De La Rosa. And I said to him, I'd like to say it De La Rosa, but I'm not going to do that, Bill. It's okay. De La Rosa, who is an actual graduate from the program, you are going to love hearing this story. We're going to talk about what STEP is, how it works, and why it's so important to all of our futures. And just a little backstory, I heard Tracy do a presentation at my Rotary Club several months ago. It takes time, but I never forgot the presentation. And I said, as soon as I got home, I emailed our show producer, Kelly King, and I said, we've got to get them on the show because I want more people to learn about this program. And it's amazing from beginning to end. So Tracy, Bill, welcome. And Tracy, let's start with you about what STEP is.
Well, thank you. It's fantastic to be here today. STEP is a college prep and leadership program for low-income, first-generation, college-bound Arizona students. So we are specifically about giving them the tools, the confidence, the knowledge, the leadership skills to successfully transition to and obtain a college degree.
Now, really, seriously, I want to ring the bell. I don't ring the bell anymore, but I feel like ringing the bell. Okay, so that's it. And then talk a little bit about each program, because you have the Student Expedition Program, and then you have the College Prep Program. They're separate.
They're separate, but part of one
but
big
integrated.
Piece.
Yes. Right.
Students enter our program in their sophomore year of high school, and we work with them all the way from their sophomore year through graduation, through their senior year, in monthly college prep workshops. So we have focused guidance throughout the college preparation process. So we're even looking at what courses are they taking to academically prepare for college. We're working with them on scholarships, all sorts of things. So it's a very broad and in-depth program. And then in the summer between their junior and senior year, they are invited to participate in our STEP Leadership Expedition to Alaska. And that is 3 weeks in the wilderness of Alaska. So we're taking these desert urban kids up to Alaska, and they are leading their peers in the wilderness. So it's pretty much like putting them on the moon. And that transition that they go through, that they go from being completely discombobulated when they first get out there and not knowing what they're doing at all, to basically leading their peers, leading the entire expedition. And that journey, really the hero's journey, is tremendously life-transforming for them and allows them to understand the abilities that they have to go on and then do challenges in the future, for example, college, going away, going to school.
Which we're going to hear more about and absolutely delights me. And Bill, say hi so that people know you're here. I always think we have the guest that I never say.
Hello, all.
Yeah, there you go. He's got a great radio voice, too. So, Tracy, off script a little bit, but do all of the kids who you have in the program, do they get to go to Alaska, or is it something that's really the icing on the cake and the kids work for it because they know that's a possibility? How does that work? How do you pick the kids?
Well, the kids definitely work for it. And, you know, I will just say they work hard in our program. I mean, I think that's one of the things that sets our program aside from some other programs out there is they really have to commit to us. They really have to work hard. They're doing homework. They have to attend the workshops. We're really we have high expectations. We set the bar high for them. So they're definitely working for it. And interestingly enough, this year, for example, every single student that wanted to go on the expedition did. We had some students that stayed home and did pre-college programs in universities at home here or had other opportunities in the summertime. So it's not a required thing to do. But yes, most of our students that are in our program do get to go to Alaska.
And you know, one of the most daunting things that I experienced as a parent was the college application process. It blew my mind. Do you help the kids with that? I mean, it's
through
daunting.
Every step of the process. And, you know, now that I've really gotten into this with our program, I'm just amazed that anybody can really navigate it well unless you have a lot of guidance. And the students that we're working with, I think it's very interesting. You know, they're doing well in school. So these are low-income first-gen, so the first generation in their family to want to go on to college. But they're doing really well in school. And when students are doing really well in school, sometimes nobody pays attention to them because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, they're all set. They're all set to go. And so nobody really spends time working with them through this process. And so the need there is huge. If you look at some education statistics in Arizona alone, less than 20% of high school students will go on directly after high school to a four-year institution. And less than 10% will actually get a bachelor's degree in 6 years. So those are the statistics we're working with. With STEP, 85% of our alumni are in college or have graduated from college.
I mean, unbelievable. And the numbers that you just quoted in terms of the need don't even reflect the kids that we lost between eighth grade and high school.
Exactly. And they also don't reflect low income. That's just overall. So you know that those low income statistics are even much less than that.
It's daunting. So the need is there. And do you work in particular high schools? Do you target? What does that part of the program look like in terms of the demand is so far greater than the need that you can fulfill? So how do you decide where you're going to go and what kids are going to be blessed with this opportunity?
Well, right now we outreach to 23 high schools in Tucson and Phoenix.
23?
And we're always looking for more large public high schools to partner with. So what we do is we work with a counselor at each school to identify the candidates that qualify for STEP, and then we give a presentation to them, and then they apply to our program. And so last year we had over 140 applicants.
And how many got picked?
Well, we have right now our capacity is about 60 students.
Yeah, but that's a multi-generational change.
Huge.
I know how that works. It changes forever. And then how are you staffed for that many schools?
We are a lean and mean organization.
I guess. I'm like, wow. I had no idea it was that many schools. I thought you were going to say like, well, we work with 10 here in Pima County.
Right. We have some great counselor contacts.
And
so we really try to pick one counselor that really can work with us. But our staff is two full-time staff members, myself and a program director, and one part-time Phoenix coordinator that helps us with our workshops in Phoenix. So we really give a lot of individualized attention to our students.
Heart and soul.
Even after they graduate.
And I wish we had video because it's great to see Bill here who is shaking his head and is going to get a chance to talk about it. I just wanted to kind of lay the groundwork, but it's really, he's shaking his head and affirming everything you said. It's like one day we're going to have the video production like Mike and Mike. I want to know, and I didn't find this on the website, and I don't remember if I asked you when I met you, how old is the program and who's idea was it? I mean, it's so incredibly amazing and has all the bells and whistles for success, but whose idea was it?
Well, first of all, we're 10 years old now.
I can't believe that.
So I actually founded STEP.
Love that you're saying that.
And in 2002 and in 2003, we had our nonprofit status. In 2004, we started working with students. So, and oddly enough, I come from a background in oceanography. I like to say I'm an oceanographer in the desert, but I started looking at education statistics and who goes on to college, and there's a huge educational achievement gap between low-income and high-income students. And for years, I'd been working in expedition-type programs, and I knew those programs were very transformational and really gave students confidence. And so I said, I want to bring this type of programming to low-income students who are actually doing well in school but not going on to college. Because when I started talking to teachers and counselors and principals, they said there's so many students that have every ability to go on to college and don't because there's no history in their family of a college-going history. And so I said, that's who I want to work with. And so
the kids that I love what you said about the kids that are succeeding, but nobody's watching them to make sure they go to the next level, which brings a much brighter future for all of us.
And I will tell you, when you look at the education background of a lot of our parents that we work with, if they haven't even graduated from high school, they may not have even gotten through elementary school. When their student graduates from high school, the whole family's like, okay, well, they've gone way farther than we've ever gone.
And they're
gone.
So proud of them.
And as they should be.
Right.
But there's no understanding of the importance of college. And so that's really a missing piece. And then, of course, as you said, going through the whole process of applying to college and preparing for college, because you have to prepare for it in order to, it's a missing piece for these students.
I am so old that when I applied to Rutgers University in New Jersey, I swear it was like 5 pages. That's it. I mean, it was like, if I had to do what you kids have to do, I think I would be doing, you know, online courses or something
so
like that.
It's a lot. Another piece of what we do in the college prep program is we really introduce students to colleges around the country and admissions reps. So, for example, right now we're working on bringing in quite a few admission directors into our workshops this fall to speak with our students, because that really exposes our students to all the opportunities out there.
Okay, and I just want to ask one question before we switch to Bill, and then we'll do it like we'll have a conversation. What made you decide Alaska? And two questions. One is, what made you decide Alaska? Because it is the scary last frontier. And two is, you don't just drop these kids on their own.
Right.
Is there national outdoor leadership staff with them? I mean, that would be a really not good idea. So how do you staff that part?
So not only Alaska, but Alaska sea kayaking. So I basically wanted to put them on the moon. I wanted to get as far away from their known world as possible. So not only are we going up to Alaska, which is a completely different environment and pretty darn rainy and cold in the summertime, it can be pretty miserable. But also we're putting them on the ocean, you know, in kayaks, and again, desert urban kids. So, I mean, I just want to basically pull the rug out from underneath them and then build them up from there. So when I started this out, when I founded STEP, I said, I don't need to reinvent the wheel of the expedition. I have worked with organizations that are the top in the field, and the National Outdoor Leadership School is the premier outdoor leadership training organization. They've trained all the astronauts that went up in the shuttle program. We shared a beach with a group of astronauts one year that were going to fix the Hubble Space Telescope. So this is the level at which we're working.
So do you go too?
So I go as an instructor. So I am a National Outdoor Leadership School instructor.
Wow.
And then we have for each 12 students, for each expedition, there's 12 students and 3 instructors. So we very much, when we first get out there, we're teaching them everything. But by the end, they're the ones that are leading the expedition. What I like to say to our students is, our goal as instructors is to become obsolete.
I just would probably have cried the whole 3 weeks. So there you go. Because I've realized I've done some, like, nothing close to it. I'm not even going to talk about it. A half marathon doesn't even get in the same conversation as landing on the moon in Alaska. So, Bill, it's all about you now. Tell us, welcome, and thanks for being here. You're just an outstanding example about everything that's right about the world and the program. So tell us about how you got interested in it, where you went to school, a little bit about your background.
First of all, thank you for having us here. Like you said, my name's Bill. I just graduated from Pueblo High School last year. Right now, I'm getting ready to start my second year at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. But like Tracy said,
let's press pause here. You know, I need the bell a lot. He's his second year at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. Like, press pause here. From Pueblo there. It's scary.
It was really scary. But I honestly felt that I had the confidence and I knew I could do it. And partly because of this program. Going to Alaska, that far away from Tucson, South Tucson, Arizona. And so knowing that I could do that really gave me the confidence that I could go beyond Arizona, go beyond California or New Mexico, and on to Maine, the East Coast.
Where the winters are quite different.
Where they are really different, yeah.
Quite different. Yeah. I'm so impressed. So you heard about the program in sophomore year at Pueblo?
I did. Tracy came on to Pueblo High School, and she introduced the program. She gave the presentation, and I thought it was really interesting, and it looked like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to apply to a program and have it all paid for and have this wonderful experience. So I applied, and next thing you know, I got my acceptance phone call, and next thing you know, I'm on a plane to Alaska, and I'm looking over the window, and I see snow on the mountains, and that was just incredible. You know?
Oh my gosh! So the work that Tracy talked about, the hard work, in addition to what you're doing, you're a good student. Was it hard work for you to be in the program and keep up with what their expectations were for you in addition, or are you like really a super brainiac and so you just breeze through that part?
I wouldn't say I was a super brainiac, but I was really involved in school, and school is something I'm really passionate about. So I saw it as a sort of like an extracurricular, and just me to put more time in the program and really do what was necessary to follow through and really get this opportunity.
And I really want to talk about the down low of the 3 weeks and what happens. So you land, and give us some really, I'd like some vivid details about what you have to do. And I, you know, you don't have to say on the air if you cried, but I could cry just thinking about it. I'd get there and say, oh my gosh, I want my mommy. So tell us, you landed and what happens?
Well, first we landed right in Anchorage, Alaska, and it was about, I think, 11:30 PM. And we walk outside and it's just pure daylight. And that really struck me because, like, and Tracy warned us that there was going to be a 24-hour daylight, especially south of Alaska.
Right.
So that struck me. And, you know, I see people jogging by. I see people bicycling in the middle
of the night.
Of the night. So we go on to Knowles, the National Outdoor Leadership School, and we stationed there. We camped there. We set up our tents. And it was just, it was completely foreign from what I'm used to. Completely foreign. And so we basically just set up our camp. During the next few days, they taught us the basics, the food rations, what we're going to be carrying, what we're going to be eating. We packed all our food, all our gear, and then the anxiety started kicking up
because
it was actually happening.
And sea kayaks, not exactly a desert sport,
not at all. And it all started happening. We started putting, renting our gear, putting it on the bus, and then we're off to the sea. We're off to the sea and. And then we get dropped off. We load all the kayaks on a boat, and then this boat takes us to the middle of nowhere, by the Prince William Sound area, and they just dropped us off there, all our gear, all our kayaks on the beach, on an Alaskan beach, and that's it. And then it started. We set up our camp there for the first day. They taught us how to cook using limited tools,
right, and water.
So then during the day after that, we learned how to kayak, the safeties.
That's what I was going to ask you. That's not easy. So no. You have one day to learn how to be an expert sea kayaker.
We start really slow. But at first, the part I had the trouble most doing was actually learning how to get out of kayak in case it tips over. And that was because the water was freezing and I didn't want to do it.
And that's the scariest part to me, having your legs in and not being able to just get out.
Right.
And did they make you tip over and practice?
They make us tip over.
In the cold water?
Yes.
Okay. Alrighty then. So motivation for not tipping over. I'm living vicariously. I can tell you that.
Yeah. But then after that, so we learned how to get on the kayaks, get out of the kayak safely. And then we start paddling, I think that same day or the next day, and we paddle about 5 miles to start with. And those 5 miles were hard. They were terrible. Everyone was complaining, I remember. But then as time went by, we started paddling 10 miles, 15 miles, and those five
you
miles.
You are kidding
me. Yeah.
So then you have to paddle, which is a lot of work, and then you have to get to camp and set up camp. When you really want to just crawl in a sleeping bag and go to sleep because you're so tired and sore. Am I right? I'm thinking, oh my gosh, doesn't my meal show up now?
Yeah. And, you know, we get almost every day we would travel to a different place and we would land on this beach, unload all our gear, set up our tents again, make sure whoever's on cooking duty for that person to start cooking because everyone's hungry. And then basically, by then we're just exhausted and call it a night or call it a day. And then
a day, even though it's right. A night, even though it's a day. Right. Okay.
And then the next day, really early, we need to wake up, pack all our gear, put it on a kayak, and we're going to a different place.
Did you want to quit?
I didn't really want to quit. No.
That's great.
Yeah.
Really great. And I knew you would tell the truth. It's like, I already want to quit. So there you go. But I mean, it's so amazing. So what happened in terms of some of the things that you believe you learned on that trip and in this program that are takeaways that you knew, like, if I can survive 3 weeks in the Alaskan wild, I can take on things that I may have never thought possible? Did you have those kind of aha moments? And it's really okay if you didn't, but what was processing in you when you're out there shielding yourself from grizzly bears?
No, I think two of the biggest things that I took personally, one would be leadership. The SET program does really good at, you know, making us leaders out there. And for example, one day we're assigned as leaders of the entire kayak fleet, and we need to direct the entire pods of kayaks to our destination. So we're given a map, and we need to basically guide them through the waters, through the ocean, and onto our destination safely.
What a responsibility!
Safely. Yeah, and so
did they rotate that so everybody got to be?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we do it in groups of four, so there's four leaders, and we need to work as a team. And
team
really. Take carry it on through. The second thing would be the confidence that I gained from this.
No kidding.
The confidence, yeah, because I'm so used to living in Tucson, in South Tucson, this desert area, and then the next thing you know, I'm in Alaska and in this foreign environment, and I'm guiding kayaks, students, instructors on an ocean in Alaska. It's just, it was incredible, and knowing that I could do this, you know, just gave me the confidence that I could do whatever I set my mind to.
Bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on.
Now let's go to the really wonderful, not end of the story, but a new beginning of a different story, is your exception. And it's Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine, which, did you like throw something and say, this is the farthest place from Tucson that I can go? Because, you know, Bill, that's far.
It's far. It's, yeah.
It's not like going to, you know, UCLA or something. We're right. Talking, whoa.
First of all, Tracy earlier mentioned that right now what the SET program is doing is bringing on college admissions officers to speak to the students. Well, that's how I heard of Bowdoin. Tracy brought in one of the admissions officers, and she came over, and we met at the Tucson Downtown Library.
Right.
And she spoke about Bowdoin, and she talked about a flyout program. And this is a multicultural recruit program that students apply to, and then if accepted, the college pays for a four-day trip, food, board,
awesome.
Everything
okay.
Included.
So you're on the plane again going someplace
yeah,
else.
But, cool. You know, this Alaska experience was what gave me this confidence to first even try and
sure.
Look at this college and fly across the country. So then I'm in Maine by myself, and I really enjoyed this college. And so I ended up applying to college, to Bowdoin. And like I said, I had this confidence that I could do it, that I could really go across the country, because I've already been to Alaska. What's Maine compared to Alaska?
And, no kidding.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about, I think I feel another show coming on here, but tell me about what's going on with your parents, your family, about you and the pride. I mean, I'm sitting here as a mother saying, oh my gosh, what a kid. Were they just blown away?
Oh, my parents were really proud. They're really, really proud of for what I've done. First of all, I think my dad graduated high school, but he never attended college. I think my mom dropped out when she was in elementary school. And so they're really shocked that I've gone through all of this, and especially with all the help that Tracy's gave, this program has given me. So they're really happy for me and
supportive and proud and all those
yeah.
things. I'll bet lots
oh,
of,
yeah.
oh my gosh, it just makes me, yeah. it makes me feel great. So,
and you know, Bill has, you know, younger siblings now that have him as an example.
That's what I was going to say. It's
so
the ripple
wonderful.
Effect. It yeah. is so wonderful. So Tracy, like this is not a touchy feely show. This is about really important things that are happening that are a spotlight on the Southwest for sustainability. In terms of when he sits there telling this, you know, I feel like it's Oprah. What's going on for you? But are you just so blown away by these kids and their abilities and shining the light on them and what you're doing? I hope you're like...
I can tell you this. You know, we read a lot of applications, and we have 136 alumni now. And when I read the stories of these students and what they're coming from and the hardships that they're, you know, they're dealing with in their lives, all sorts of things, and I see that they're doing well in school, I realize, wow, these are just absolute gems. These are, you know, some of the students that we work with, the fact that they're even functioning, much less doing well in school, right? So I know that the investment in these students is so worth it. And I've seen it over the years. I'm so impressed with our students. The ones that really stick with our program and work hard, it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And they're incredible human beings. And they really are. It's that generational change that we're talking about. So through higher education, you know, our goal for our students is through higher education, there is a generational change in their family. And I see it with, we've had students in our program that in later years, their younger siblings have come into our program. And so the parents become big fans. And then through that, the community. And so it's so exponential in what's happening here.
But it is. It's what I call, back in the day when I was in social services, it's systemic change. Mm-hmm. It's not a feel-good 9-week program. You're changing an entire family system by just doing things that they would love to do for themselves anyway. I mean, that's what I learned working in home services. It's like these families are just waiting for somebody to put the spotlight on them. I mean, it's really unbelievable. Now, your first year, was it rough? I mean, my daughter went to just L.A. and could come home, and they went through some pretty hard times about being separated from home and not being here for their birthday. How'd you do with that?
You know, it was a little rough.
Yes.
To be honest, it was rough, but it wasn't. For example, it wasn't like Alaska rough because
that's a great thing. Really,
it wasn't Alaska rough.
So there it goes, going back to that experience.
Yeah. Like in Alaska, we had no connection whatsoever to our parents. We couldn't call them. We couldn't message them, Facebook them, or whatever. And here, you know, although I am like across the country from my parents, my family, my home, I could just, you know, pick up a phone and just give them a call.
You can call them.
Yeah.
Right. And I know, thank God for Skype. I mean, thank you. I'm so glad we have Skype. So I want to ask,
it's an interesting part of our expedition, I think, that's pretty key, is that they are completely disconnected. I mean, there's no electronics.
Off the grid.
You know, there's not even electronic music. So, they actually have to talk to each other.
Which is wonderful.
So we're going back to basics. And it's huge because we have so many of our students say, wow, this is the first time I've just been able to think. You know, think about my life and reflect on things. And so there's so many facets to what happens out there on that experience.
And it goes, 3 weeks is really a long time. You have to really go deep and survive. I mean, just the thought of leading your friends and the kids in the program safely through ocean waters is daunting.
And I'll put a shout out to our parents. It's amazing to me that they take that leap of faith with us, but they do. And then they see their students come back so positively transformed.
So we have 2 more minutes, and I want to use every minute to talk about the program. How is it funded? How can people help? What's the best way for people that hear this that might want to be inspired to either donate or somehow get involved, or kids to hear about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, our funding comes completely from individuals and family foundations. We get no government funding. And so we're always looking for supporters. And we have a great support group.
And the need will always be there.
The need is definitely there. And we're looking to, you know, work with more and more students.
What's the website?
The website is www.stepexpedition.org. And if you go on there, there's a even the homepage, there's a place you can donate. There's also a place where, you know, you can contact us and find out more about the program. For students interested in applying, the application is
right online.
Due November 19th.
So, right. Okay, right, everybody. Online. Oh my gosh. Tracy and Bill, thank you so much. Next week, the Healthy You Network, Why Should I Care? Amber Adil and John Reed. The Healthy You Network is changing the world literally in its mission to provide education about lifelong benefits of whole plant-based food, and we will learn just how they are doing that. Thank you so much, and it was absolutely an honor to sit in your presence and hear what you've accomplished. And I mean that from my heart. Tracy, thank you for making our world a better place. Thanks, everybody. Make it a great green week. From Mrs. Green, we're out of here.